Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 164, the stanzas 1 and 2. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee, and my spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste. And what follows, Psalter 164, the stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 16, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 16, the first 16 verses. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, a sorrow hath filled your heart. And nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou was granted the opportunity, the privilege, and the blessing that we and our children may come unhindered up to thy house, may we be humbled thereunder. Were also in this province, and then thou maketh the great difference where there is no difference. Then in the days, the weeks that lie behind, then there have been those that have lost their homes, their possessions, they have lost much because of the fires. Wilt thou remember all that people, and may it be used that they may be given to bow their knees and cry unto thee for thy help, but also for that one thing needful. Then we commend unto thee all those that are active, battling the fires, then undoubtedly, then they shall feel so small. Wilt thou protect them, keep them from harm, and keep them from death. And, Lord, then we may humbly ask thee, where the province is so dry, that thou may bless us with refreshing showers, and that not only in an outward way, where we live in a time, as it were, the sparks of hell upon this earth, where the fires of lust, of mockery, of blasphemy, of sin, that they rage forth greatly on the increase, as so little acknowledgement of thee, that thou art the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth, as so little bowing under thy word. It is written in thy word, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, Lord. May it please thee to grant unto us and our children that even in a very little way we may resemble that church of old, gathered in that upper room with one accord, with prayer and supplication, pleading the promise for the rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, Lord. We have sung together with the psalmist of that desire and of that thirsting. May it have found entrance in some hearts, the picture of sighing, longing, and thirsty souls, thirsting for thee and for thy righteousness, Lord. Do pour out thy Holy Spirit, as it is written in thy word, sons and daughters, young men, old men, as servants and handmaidens, that they may be brought to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son. Without thy Spirit, it is all dead, and it is all cold. Ah, Lord, come then down in this evening with thy Holy Spirit, with thy power, and with thy love, that sinners may be wrought upon. Ah, that sons and daughters may be converted by thee unto thee, with those new desires, with those new longings, and with an impression of their sinnership, and that they cannot appear unto thee. But, O Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that need that continual instruction, and it is the work of thy Spirit to bring sinners to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, as we have heard out of thy holy word. Lord, then we need thy Spirit to pray for thy Spirit and truth and uprightness. Ah, grant then the Spirit of prayer and of supplication. Do bless the means of grace in the church, in the family circles, and in the midst of our Christian school. Ah, thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Lord, we commend thy church unto thee. In this week, in the coming 3 days, then the curatorium in the Netherlands hopes to meet. Ah, what a weighty task. Wilt thou help, remember, and gladden with thy deeds, and also in our denomination. In 10 days, the curatorium hopes to meet. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer. May the need be felt, bind it upon the heart. Lord, remember our nation. Remember our province. In 8 days, then elections have been scheduled. May it please thee to yet show a little mercy and give not over completely to the foolishness of the heart. Ah, Lord, the sore need of repentance, turning unto thee, unto thy word, and unto thy institutions. Ah, thy long-suffering is great, thy patient long-suffering. But, O Lord, we have fallen so deeply. Man has become so wretched that we abuse that long-suffering as if it shall be forever. And, O Lord, may the churches be given to turn unto themselves, because it is written the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. O Lord, do grant that turning from our evil and our worldly ways, the psalmist of old has exclaimed, that rivers of waters ran down his eye, because they kept not thy law and the weeping prophet, that he would weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of his people. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then remember us and our children? Wilt thou keep that tender conscience not enough for eternity? Give not over to the hardening of the heart above all. By thy free and sovereign grace, ah, grant unto many, ah, Lord, we all need the same. We need a new heart, granted by thy Spirit, that may fear and love thee, hate sin, and that needs to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. We commend unto thee a young father and mother, with whom thou wast blessed for the first time in their married life, with a little daughter wilt thou grant humble and broken hearts. May she be a little one for thee, one for thy honor and for thy glory. We commend unto thee a young couple, whom soon hope to be united in holy matrimony. Wilt thou help in all the preparations, O Lord? Grant a place at thy footstool, where they may be given to beg of thee, and that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, given to beg of thee of the work of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou remember all of our young people? Wilt thou grant them one in thy favor, with whom they may go through this life, a spouse around the old truth and the old ways? Lord, bind us together as a people. Wilt thou keep us? Place that fiery wall round about us where we live in a time where there are so many temptations and Satan has but a short time. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. Continue to uphold them. Remember our elderly ones, the care home, with those that may care for them, those that may still go in and out. The time is short. Above all things, do save their souls. And remember all under the physician's care, with pain, with weariness of the body, those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Wilt thou grant it? May the callings be sanctified. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones? Bless the family circles. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, we humbly ask thee in this evening for thy Spirit. We need thy Spirit in speaking and in listening. Wilt thou then be a surprising God? Grant a good, a special. Could it be an unforgettable hour in thy house, O Lord, that shall be when sinners are converted, but also when thy children may receive something of thee? Ah, thou hast a people so unworthy, send it all away. But if they may receive but a little crumb from the King, ah, then they are so happy and so glad. Then they shall be filled with joy and peace, and believing with the vehement desire that thy name may be praised to the highest, O Lord. In paradise we have lost our purpose, but by thy Spirit, then that purpose, then it may be realized, O only in beginning, in eternity it shall be full. Wilt thou so go from bench to bench and from heart to heart, go from dwelling to dwelling, take away everything that could be a hindrance, look down upon us in thy mercy, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 287, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. To God ascribe glory and wisdom and might. Let God in his creatures forever delight. And what follows, Psalter 287, the three stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? Answer, first, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that he is also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. Lord's Day 20 speaks of faith in the Holy Ghost. Four thoughts. First, the person of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, the giving of the Holy Ghost. Thirdly, the comfort by the Holy Ghost. And fourthly, the needed prayer for the Holy Ghost. Faith in the Holy Ghost. The person, the giving, the comfort, and the needed prayer for the Holy Ghost. Thus first, the person of the Holy Ghost. Beloved congregation, we have thus far, with the explanation of the 12 articles, considered faith in God the Father, the Lord's Days 9 and 10, creation and providence, and for the church, then the instructors have explained that he becomes the church's father through the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it now with that belief, congregation? Do we many times stop, or are we too busy? Do we many times stop and consider and examine what we really believe? God's creation, God's providence, and then we have heard of the prophet, thankful in prosperity. There are many trials, but what a blessings. Think of many people in our province who have left their homes and they returned and only smothering ruins. Many were called to leave, not knowing whether they shall find their possessions back, and what maketh us to differ. Thankful in prosperity, patient in adversity, and in all future things, to trust in the Lord. That is the blessed portion of God's true people. And now for the exercising of that faith, then they need the Holy Spirit. And that is what our Lord's Day speaks of. Then the Lord's Days number 11 through 19, they have spoken of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, boys and girls, I hope that you can remember that that precious mediator needs to be known, needs to be known in our mind, but in our heart, in his names, his natures, offices, and states and benefits. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to make room in the heart of sinners who have never asked for the Lord in truth, but that chosen church that is wrought upon, drawn by the cords of love. Jeremiah has stated in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, I have loved thee from everlasting, therefore with love have I drawn thee. Thus it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room in the heart of sinners for that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Beautiful typified in Genesis 24, when that servant of Abram believed to have been Eliezer, and then Eliezer did not speak of himself. He did not magnify himself, but he has spoken of Father Abraham, that he has received the son, and that the son would receive that inheritance, and that son needed a bride. And then Eliezer has come with many precious gifts to allure that Rebecca, but then Rebecca has learned how precious those gifts were. They were not Isaac, and then a great journey to the land of Canaan. Lord's Day number 20, that speaks of the Holy Ghost. Only one Lord's Day that speaks of the person. But the last few Lord's Days, then we have already heard of the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's days to come, then it speaks of his works. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son, a co-essential. That means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the same essence. That means concerning those attributes, both communicable and incommunicable. Our young people know what that means, and also the older ones. The communicable attributes, they are attributes where there is a faint resemblance in man. For an example, knowledge. Then man has a little knowledge, of course, nothing compared to the perfect and infinite knowledge of the Lord. Also the incommunicable attributes, the omnipresence, to name one, then all three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they are partakers of those attributes. Also co-eternal, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they are from eternity. Then the Holy Ghost is called the Holy Spirit. And that because God is a spirit, as I read in John 4 verse 24, but now he is called the Holy Spirit. That is reference to his, to his essence, to his being, as it is with the Father and with the Son. But now concerning the Holy Spirit, then it is to distinguish from the other two persons. And in the third place, then it is also the work of the Holy Spirit when he works in the heart of a sinner to make that people holy, to consecrate them for his service. Then concerning the Holy Ghost, then he proceedeth from the Father and from the Son. We find that written in John 14, verse 26, and in John 15, verse 26. Concerning that proceeding, then in the 6th century, there has also come a separation in the church, because in the Nicene Creed, then the original creed, then it was written that the Father, that the Holy Ghost has proceeded from the Father. But then in the 6th century, then the church, upon study and searching and examining the Holy Scriptures, then they have added to that creed that the Holy Ghost also proceedeth from the Son. And that has caused the separation between the Eastern and the Western churches when that addition was added at the Synod of Toledo. And that separation has become final in the year 1054. First, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and with the Son. Thus then the instructors, they are clearly stating that the Holy Ghost is not only a power. Oh, it is true, he worketh powerfully. But then the instructors are clearly stating that the Holy Ghost is not only a power, but that he is the third person in the divine Trinity. Because there are those, and then we mention the Jehovah Witness, then in their Bible, when it speaks of the Spirit, then it shall not be with a capital S, because they try to tell us that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is not the third person of the divine Trinity, but only a power and an influence. But it is clearly declared in the Word of God that the Spirit is a person. In the first place, in John 14, John 15, and John 16, then the Spirit is called the Comforter. In John 14, verse 26, when Christ is speaking of himself, then he is given to speak of the Spirit as another Comforter, the third person in the divine Trinity. We have many more proofs in Acts 13 with the sending out of Paul and Barnabas. And then we read that the Spirit spake and a power does not speak. In Romans 8 verse 26, and then we read that the Spirit maketh intercession. And in verse 34 of that same chapter, then there is also spoken of Christ, the second person in the divine Trinity, that he maketh intercession. And then further, then in the scripture there is spoken of sins against the Holy Ghost. We do not sin against the power, but the sins against the Holy Ghost. And now concerning the divinity of the Holy Spirit, and that is proven in the Scriptures, in the first place by His works. Already in Genesis 1 verse 2, concerning the creation of God, then we read that the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. In Psalm 104 verse 30, there we read, Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, and the earth is renewed. And then in the second place, concerning the attributes of the Trinity, they are also concerning the Holy Spirit. Think of Psalm 139, where it speaks of the omnipresence of the Lord. Then it speaks specifically of the Spirit. And then in the third place, concerning His honor, because when we think of our baptism in Matthew 28 verse 19, thus proven by His names, by His attributes, by His works, and by His honor. And now concerning the Holy Spirit, His wonderful work that is compared, typified in the Scriptures to oil. As I read in Zechariah 4 verse 6, and think of the parable in Matthew 25 of the wise and foolish virgins, that oil grants light. Then in the second place, then in the Scriptures, then the work of the Spirit is compared to the wind, where we read in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost that there was that noise as the sound of a rushing wind. Then in the third place, then the work of the Spirit, that is typified with the dew and with the rain. And then we live in a country that we are given to experience and see in special ways how important that the dew and the rain is. That without rain and dew, that everything turns to a desert, that nothing can grow. I read in 1 Kings 17, when the prophet Elijah has come to King Ahab concerning the judgments of a drought, that he has first mentioned the dew and then the rain. And then the dew, we read thereof in Hosea 14 verse 5, that it refers to the work of the Holy Spirit, that it can fall so silently, then we do not see the dew fall. But boys and girls, when we awake in the morning and the sun comes up, then we see that glistening dew. Oh, a beautiful type of the work of the Holy Spirit. But also compared to the rain, the Lord is so free and sovereign. The one He works more quietly, the other one more powerfully and suddenly, because we also read of the work of the Spirit, that in different places in the Scriptures, it is written that it is a pouring out. Isaiah 32 verse 15, it speaks of a city uninhabited as a wilderness until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field counted as a forest. That precious text in Isaiah 44, the verses 3, 4, and 5, fathers and mothers, do you know what is written in that text? That is a special text with a special promise, because there it is written, I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall grow up as grass, and as willows by the watercourses, and the one shall call them by the name of Jacob, and another surname that people has been led further by the name of Israel, thus typified in the scriptures in different ways to express the blessing, the need, the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit. To that end, our second thought, and then the instructor may add, that he is also given me. The instructor could speak personally of that wonderful work of the Spirit. And how is it now possible that the Holy Spirit is given to a sinner and even comes to dwell in the heart of a sinner? Because the Lord is so holy and so just that the Lord can have no communion with a sinner. That is only possible through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. We have heard in the last Lord's days that Christ at the right hand of the Father, that he pours out those heavenly graces. And now the instructor may speak in the assurance of faith that he has given me. Then the instructor does not say, I have taken the Spirit. He is given to speak of the Holy Spirit as a gift from heaven, and that is a sovereign gift, that is a free gift, and that is a gift that the church receives in the moment of regeneration. We read in the scriptures that the Father sits on the throne. We have heard that Christ has a place on that throne at the right hand of the Father. But now what pleases the Holy Spirit in the moment of regeneration to take habitation in the heart of his chosen church. That is the moment that they are born again. And I read in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that they become new creatures in Jesus Christ. And now concerning that giving of the Holy Spirit, then the Lord, then he is so free. But we must remember that the Spirit always worketh through the Word. And therefore the necessity that we place ourselves faithfully under that word. And the Lord has promised in Isaiah 55 verse 11 that it shall not return void unto him. And in Isaiah 43 verse 13, I the Lord will work and no man can hinder it. That is that irresistible work, that loving work of the Holy Spirit. It is true. There is also the common work of the Spirit, and still a blessing when that may be present amongst us. But that common work, and the Lord has a people upon the earth that they are given to examine themselves oftentimes when they may believe that the Lord has given that Spirit. And when that Spirit is given, then the Spirit grants those precious gifts which are merited by the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Galatians 5, the verses 22 and 23. And then such a one is given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. We have the beautiful example of Ruth on the fields of Boaz, where Boaz is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that in the providence of the Lord, all that Spirit has been given to a Ruth already in Moab. And then undoubtedly then the instruction of that Nehemiah was blessed to her soul by the application of the Holy Spirit. It was by the Holy Spirit that a Ruth on that border, that she has made that precious choice, as I read in Ruth 1 verse 16, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Oh, then a Ruth, then she was given to glean on that field of Boaz with such a delight, and to return to Nehemiah. But now when the Lord works, oh, it is true. When the Spirit grants those graces, those gifts, when it is lively, when they may be given to bow at the throne of grace, when they may have that tender and close life, then such souls are so happy. But when it becomes so still, when it becomes so quiet, when it becomes dry, when they find their life, what we have sung together out of Psalm 63, oh, it is true, when that thirst may be lively and they may be given to pour out their heart before the Lord, then they can believe it. But when it becomes so still, then they are given to examine their hearts very closely. Think of a soul. He was given to prophesy. More examples in the Scriptures. And then maybe a soul says, but now, is there now a special mark that I may know with all my ups and downs? That's what the church experiences. They learn more and more this all grace. All must come from above. As a nature, we cannot make it to reign. So it is in the life of the church. And the Lord is not a land of outer darkness. But what is now the difference? What did that soul now miss? And he has experienced much. Read 1 Samuel 9 and 10. Then Samuel has told him that he would experience wonderful things. This all taken place. But what was now missing in the heart of Saul? Oh, there were a few things missing. And that is what those souls desire to know. We shall mention 3 points. We shall not broaden it out. Then in the heart of Saul, there was missing that love for the Lord for his attributes, everything connected with the Lord. It's not mean that Saul had no joy, but that deep, that genuine love was missing, and that has become evident because Samuel has said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. In the second place, that godly sorrow over sin. And third, oh, it is true. We read of some humility because Saul has hid himself. But that true humility with that vehement desire that God is glorified to the highest, that was missing. It is true. In the scripture, we also read of gifts of the Spirit. When we think of the making of the tabernacle, the Lord also grants the gifts to serve in the church. But when we think of Aaron, when he had to die, he did not die with those high priestly clothes. They were taken off and put on a son. Ah, the church is saved by free and sovereign grace. And that is now the question, congregation. Has he been given to us? Is that now taking place? That the Holy Spirit has begun that good work. Then I hear a soul maybe say, but if I could now tell the exact time, the sermon, then it would be so much easier. But that I could not say. If I could now tell like a Saul on the way to Damascus, then I would never doubt. But it was such a gradual work. But what about the fruits? By their fruits ye shall know them. God's word. There are so many marks which we can lay our hearts beside, whether that Spirit has been given. And when that Spirit is given, then we are given to beg for that Spirit more and more concerning his work, because that Spirit has a special mission, and that is to make room in the hearts of sinners for that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Let us sing. Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds, his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows? Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. faith, and the Holy Ghost. The person, the giving, and now thirdly, the comfort by the Holy Ghost. And then the instructors, they give a further mark of the true work of the Holy Ghost. The instructors, they speak of a true faith. The Lord has a people upon the earth that are given to examine that faith oftentimes. The instructors and Lords Day 33 are also given to speak of a true conversion. There can be much feeling. There can be much emotion. And in this Lord's Day, then by renewal, then the instructors, they are given to stress the necessity of that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read that the instructors have said, to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all of his benefits. Thus do you hear the order. Do not first speak of the benefit of faith, and that did man in his own power, that he is given to believe and to take, to receive and accept Christ. But first Christ and then his benefits. We have mentioned when the Holy Spirit is given, then such a one becomes partaker of those benefits. But now the necessity that they are brought to that knowledge of the giver himself. We have heard from John 16 that Christ in that upper room before he went to Gethsemane, that he was given to speak of the precious and the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, that it is the work of the Spirit to make room for that precious Savior in the hearts of mankind lost. Christ has said in John 5, verse 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And in Romans 8, verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. But now the work of the Spirit, we have heard it when he has come in the verses 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, young and old. Has that now taken place in our life? Christ Jesus has come upon this earth to save sinners. Have you now become a sinner? Have you now become the sinner? Perhaps with the question, with the fear, that you have sinned too much and too long. And to that end, the necessity of that uncovering work, because people, if we have never become a sinner, what must we then do with Jesus? But now the Holy Spirit, as an Eliezer, to grant those precious gifts, to speak of the Father, of the Son. And when they have asked Rebecca in Genesis 24, verse 58, wilt thou go with this man? She has said, I will go. And then concerning sin, not only the sin against the law, but the sin against the gospel, because in verse 9 of sin, because they believe not on me, the church learns more and more that it is grace, that it is all of grace, in the beginning to the end. And now concerning that work, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak not of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And then verse 14, may there be no rest. Our old fathers, how often they have stated it very plainly, until a sinner may come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, they were not speaking from the Lord's side, because in a triune God, the salvation of the church lies so sure. But they were given to speak of that experience until we come to that saving knowledge. Then it can still go both ways. And therefore the necessity, that is the work of the Spirit in the life of a child of God, to bring a sinner to that saving knowledge. And now for the church, that is also a question that they can so struggle with. What is now that saving knowledge of the dear Son of God? We shall only mention that he becomes necessary, suitable, and precious to us, that we are given to behold, that he is our only hope, the only Savior, whereby such a sinner as I am can be washed and cleansed from all their filthy sins. And he comforts me. Oh, he comforts his church. Not time in this evening. The Lord is not a land of outer darkness, but he continually upholds and comforts his people. Our last thought, the prayer for the Holy Ghost, the needed prayer. Then maybe there are some that are thinking, but that fourth point, I do not find in our catechism, because we read at the end that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. Thus, the Spirit shall never depart from his people. But where is it now found? The needed prayer for the Holy Ghost? Can you find it, congregation, when we read of the necessity, the wonderful works of the Holy Spirit? Then is there not a needed prayer for us and our children? Because without the work of the Spirit, then we are forever lost. We are forever undone. I read in John 3 verse 3, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. In this Lord's day, 'tis the Lord's day between the ascension of Christ and the day of Pentecost. And boys and girls, you know what has taken place on the day of Pentecost. And now concerning the church, may we be given all we need, the Spirit, to pray for the Spirit. May it please the Lord that we may resemble that little church in that upper room, even in a very small way. That church has received the promise that the Spirit would be poured out not many days hence. Therefore, awaiting and a praying church, what the Lord has promised, He will grant. We read in Habakkuk 2 verse 3 that the vision is for an appointed time, and at the end it shall speak and not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. We read of that waiting church in Psalm 130 verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And in Psalm 27, the verses 13 and 14, if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I had find it. But then the admonishment, the exhortation, wait upon the Lord, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. And now, when the Spirit works, then he grants that faith and that waiting. That is an act of waiting. Then the church becomes busy. For that church gathered in the upper room, in Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14, then they had that praying high priest at the right hand of the Father, and an intercessor within, and that is the Holy Spirit. To that end, may it please the Lord to grant exercises. I read in Joel 2, the verses 28 and 29, boys and girls, when you read your Bible tonight, before you go to bed, then you can read that portion. And there it is written that afterwards I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And then boys and girls are also mentioned. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. and young men, and they shall see visions, and concerning those visions, and they were those that are called to labor in the Lord's vineyard. May that need be sorely felt also in our day. Yea, then it is written that the Lord would pour out his spirit upon servants and handmaidens. Thus the need before the day of Pentecost, and not only today. As a general rule, when the Lord has decreed to grant a special blessing for his church, then he sets his people a praying. He binds the matter upon the heart of that church. They have waited, they have persevered, and the Lord has heard and answered their prayers. May we be given to try to beg, because Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, I will pray with the Spirit, but I will also pray with the understanding. To that end, fathers at the table, may your children be given to hear it, that on the coming Lord's Day, when the Lord spares us, that we hope to commemorate that glorious and wonderful day when the Spirit was poured out upon the church, when the apostles were the Spirit of the Lord as there is liberty, where the church has experienced the sealing work of the Spirit, but also when so many enemies of the Lord and enemies of Christ, that upon the preaching that sinners were pricked in the heart, 3,000 that were traveling in the morning on that Broadway, in the evening they were placed on that narrow way. May we be given to try to beg that the Lord may remember us and our dear children, the bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Then she is prayed, come thou north wind, and blow thou south wind, that the spices may flow out. Let the beloved come into my garden and eat of his pleasant fruits. The Lord remember us in his mercy. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Thou was granted that there could be reading a sermon in this morning, and yet a few words to speak, and then the necessity that thy Holy Spirit is given to us and our children to be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, our Lord. When thou spareth us, then on the coming Lord's Day, we hope to commemorate the rich and the glorious outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, may we be given to beg for a Pentecost amongst us and our children in the latter days of the earth. The earth may still stand, Lord, then by renewal We commend unto thee that people where the fires continue. May it please thee to grant unto the province refreshing showers, and also for the farmers, that the waterway may be repaired. But, O Lord, may we be yet more exercised with the waters of thy Spirit, that thou may indeed pour them upon us and our children. Wilt thou so remember us, the mothers in the home with the children, at work, at school, wherever we are called to be, wilt thou remember on the way, keep from harm and danger, from an unexpected, and above all from an unprepared death. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation, wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings. And, O Lord, may there be beggars found. O, make us born more beggars at thy throne of grace for thy wonderful and rich work, so needful, so indispensable. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 389, the stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, hear me in distress, regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply, and what follows. Psalter 389, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.